If you've had hair coursing take place on your farm, what are your thoughts on the sentence that those guilty should get?
So you could face costs of over £8,000 if you're caught coursing. In Humberside, you're looking at a fine of about £400.
It seems to vary enormously. There's a new consultation on to address this where you can have your say. There's some extra support available for this year's Open Farm Sunday, and tomorrow sees the start of an important annual campaign.
Farming in the UK has weathered many crises over the years, but unfortunately the emerging mental health crisis in the industry might prove the most devastating.
Sean's here walking through the fields with some important agronomy advice, and Edward and Alice review the markets.
The Week in Agriculture. This is the Farming Programme with Steve Orchard.
This is the Farming Programme podcast for Sunday the 9th of February 2025. Very good morning. Hope it's been a good week for you. I've been at the LEAF conference this week and I'm looking forward to the Lincolnshire Farming Conference coming up. More from both on next week's programme. I'm Steve Orchard. In the news this week, the government's launched its land use framework consultation on how best to protect productive farmland, improve resilience and maintain food security and long-term food production. The details can be found on the DEFRA website, and you have until the end of April to have your say. Bird flu's been confirmed in 18,000 turkeys in East Yorkshire. Important checks for illegal meat at the port of Dover could soon cease completely if adequate funding's not forthcoming from DEFRA, the head of Port Health has warned. The government has confirmed that nearly 13,000 flooded farms have now received £60 million worth of funding via the Farming Recovery Fund after a series of delays. And congratulations to Lincolnshire farmer Mark Popplewell, who's won gold at the 2025 Yield Enhancement Network Awards for achieving a record-breaking oat yield of 11.46 tonnes a hectare. We'll hear from Mark next week. Now, Open Farm Sunday may seem a long time away, but it's time to start thinking about taking part, and there's some extra early support available from organisers LEAF to get the ball rolling. LEAF Open Farm Sunday manager Annabel Shackleton. And it's a fantastic opportunity, as we've said loads of times before, for farmers to engage with the public, to connect, maybe dispel a few myths. And if for somebody who's never been involved in Open Farm Sunday, do you want to, in 30 seconds, say why perhaps they should?
Oh, most definitely. It's hugely important, especially in this period of transition, that we get the public on board supporting British farmers. And the best way to do that is face to face. You know, and it's just a really powerful way of engaging and enlightening, educating the public about how their food is produced and the important work that farmers are doing.
And it doesn't have to be a big formal thing. It could just be a walk around the farm, couldn't it?
Absolutely. Do you know what? This week, we've actually had our first Zoom webinar for host farmers. And one of the farmers there, Andy Basin, he was saying he's done Open Farm Sunday 6 times. The first time he did it, he had about 55, between 50 and 60 visitors. And he was so nervous and apprehensive about how it would go, but he and the team absolutely loved it. They loved that one-to-one interaction with the public, just talking about what they love and what they know so well, and the positive response from visitors was brilliant, and his event has just grown and grown from then. So yeah, recommendation, start small, farm walk, keep it simple, something that you're comfortable with. And the LEAF team, we've got lots of ideas as to how we can support you along the way.
And talking of that support, because this is key if somebody is new to it or thinking about joining Open Farm Sunday for the first ever time, you've got quite a support package. I mean, you always have had, but even more so this year. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what's available to support?
Well, the main thing that's accessible to all farmers, wherever they are, is Zoom meetings. And our next one, which is on the 11th of February at 1 o'clock, is actually specifically for first time farmers. So we'll have a couple of farmers there who did Open Farm Sunday for the first time in 2024, sharing their experiences, what they've learned, how it went, what their top tips are, so that farmers are actually getting that peer to peer advice, which is so important.
So we have a couple of in-person workshops coming up, but for those who can't get along to those, they can do this online, and we'll give the website address in a few minutes' time for more details about that. But yeah, two in-person workshops coming up in March. They're going to be absolutely invaluable, aren't they?
Most definitely. Last March, we held one in Northamptonshire, and it was so well received. Just that opportunity to talk with like-minded people and to just share ideas, share experiences face-to-face was just so valuable. We had presentations from farmers, opportunities to discuss, as well as we had the leaf education team there in workshops sharing some of their ideas as to how you can engage the public. Let's face it, for a lot of farmers, that's out of their comfort zone. You know, they're not so keen on chatting with the public, but the public want to hear, and in actual fact, every farmer has a really fabulous story to tell. You just have to break it down into individual little chunks, and we can help with suggesting ways of interacting and taking props and just talking about things so it's fun for all the family.
So just tell us where these in-person events are going to be held.
So we've got two, one on the 20th of March at Stockbridge Technology Centre near York, and then on the 26th of March down in Berkshire. So we hope that people can come along to them. They're all day events, that it really will be worth the travel to get there. The feedback we had from last year's event was fantastic.
And of course, if somebody can't do either, there are Open Farm Sunday ambassadors they could speak to, aren't there?
Yes, there certainly are. And we've got the details on the website. There is always the Open Farm Sunday team at Leaf. There's Jessica Madge and myself. We're at the end of the phone, always happy to make time to talk with farmers and just talk about ideas, even if it's just initial thoughts at the moment and people don't want to commit. You know, we can talk through how an event could take place to suit the farmer and to suit the farm.
There seems to be quite a bit of support for farmers around the country at the moment. And as you say, given the transition, given everything that's been in the news, the budget and so on over recent weeks and months, now would seem a really good opportunity to capitalise on that support and try and have a record Open Farm Sunday this year.
That would be amazing. That is what we're aiming for. And we've got our new theme of cultivating connections. We're asking everybody to talk about farming with nature, talking about the amazing work that farmers are doing for the soil, for wildlife, biodiversity. So, we just need to get the public on board and supporting British farmers.
So where can we go for information? Give us that website address. Give us the date as well, if you would, Annabelle.
So it's farmsunday.org, and Open Farm Sunday is on the 8th of June this year.
But now is the time to start planning.
Oh, definitely. We've already had some registrations come in. They're trickling in. So, yes, and we are all systems go, ready to support. And in addition to everything that we've talked about, the face-to-face meetings, the Zooms, we're setting up WhatsApp groups. We've got a closed Facebook group. And there's always that comprehensive handbook that everybody who registers an event will get a copy of, that with lots of hints and tips and helpful advice.
All right. Well, as you say, let's see if we can make it a record one for 2025. We'll talk again before we get there in June. But Annabelle, for now, thanks ever so much for joining us on the Farming Programme.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Now, we talked many times about the evils of hair coursing and the effects on farmers and the rural community. Changes have been made to legislation and to the sentences handed down to those caught and found guilty, but they vary hugely from one area to another. A consultation's been opened to address this. CLA East Regional Director Kath Crowther. We've seen more fairly harrowing pictures of hair coursing offences taking place and lots of fields really absolutely ruined as a result. The Sentencing Council is opening up a consultation on what to do with people who get caught and found guilty for of doing this. So do you want to give us a quick summary as to what they're looking for on this consultation?
Yeah, so Steve, this is looking at once someone has been caught, then how they are fined, how they are punished, essentially. We've spoken over the years about the huge impact that hair coursing has on farmers, you know, damage to land crops, hedges, gates, abandoned vehicles, impact on wildlife. and local communities. You know, the aggressive and threatening behaviour. There was an incident last week in Cambridgeshire, and there were 25, 30 vehicles speeding around land, but through villages where you could have children on a weekend. Someone could easily have got killed, but they just have no, you know, issue with breaking the law. If the police catch them, which is obviously a major thing as well, we need to make sure that the police have the resources, the vehicles, the equipment to be able to catch these, then it's up to the magistrates to enforce the fines. And that's key here. It's making sure that they understand the severity of it. We've really seen a big difference in how some of those fines are issued. So in Lincolnshire, they've been really good recently with putting in the kennelling costs and fines, equipment seizures. So you could face costs of over £8,000 if you're caught coursing. In Humberside, you're looking at a fine of about £400. We are aware that that incident last week in Cambridgeshire, the winning dog was sold for £50,000, apparently. So if you're facing a fine of £400, well, you'll just go for it, won't you?
No incentive to stop at all, is it? And this consultation is looking to put together guidelines for some consistency. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly that. And, you know, I think there's been this common perception that the poacher is that Claude Greengrass type character portrayed in Emmerdale or Heartbeat. And I think it's understanding the brutal reality of the impact this has. And also the fact that the people who take part in hare coursing are often associated with wider criminality. They are often being sought for other offences, thefts locally, etc. So we really need to make sure that the fines and the costs are being a deterrent to the offenders. Under the Police Crime Sentencing Act, which was brought in 2022, that was something that the CLA, in conjunction with lots of other organisations, had been pushing for a long time. The police can now reclaim kennelling costs. You can have dog banning orders, seizure of vehicles and equipment. So if they're caught, that can be the case, but it's making sure that that is the case and that there's the possibility of unlimited fines and up to 6 months imprisonment. Well, that is great, but we need to see that being enforced, understanding the severity of that specific circumstance.
Now, this is a consultation, presumably asking, therefore, for views, for input from those who might be affected by this. Does this mean that farmers and landowners, people in the rural community, can actually contribute to this consultation?
Yes, please do. We need them to understand the impact that this has had on people's businesses, their livelihoods, but, you know, also local communities. And, you know, sadly, we have seen some of our members that been intimidated and threatened, but some sadly assaulted. And so explaining the impact that hare coursing has had so that we can make sure they are issuing the higher fines and imprisonment in some circumstances.
It's obviously important that anybody who's potentially affected by hare coursing has some input into the potential sentences. So where could somebody go to make that contribution to the consultation?
You can go to the Sentencing Council website, or if you go to the CLA East pages on the CLA website, we will have a link there. Please, please explain your experiences, the issues you've had, the violence, the intimidation, the impact on livelihoods, and, you know, the local rural communities as well, so that they understand the impact that this has.
All right, Kath. So the CLA East pages and the Sentencing Council website is sentencingcouncil.org.uk. And let's get as many contributions to the consultation as we possibly can.
And Steve, can I just remind everyone to call 999 if they see an incident happening? It's a crime in action, so it needs to be 999, not just 111. And I know that some people say, oh, the police aren't actioning. We need these incidents to be reported, otherwise the resource will not be put into them. So we really, really need those incidents. And if they're not getting the right response, please let us know. We have regular contact with the police forces, with the rural crime team, and we can make sure that that is brought up if their response is not good enough.
All right, fair point. And another thing I would add on to that is don't confront them. These are not nice people.
Definitely do not confront them, please. We've sadly seen some very frightening incidents.
All right, Kath. Thanks again.
Thanks, Steve.
The Week in Agriculture. This is the Farming Programme with Steve Orchard.
To the fields now with an update on the crop situation and some important agronomy advice for us. Crop doctor Sean Sparling. Morning, Sean.
Yes, morning, Steve. Mixed bag of weather really this week. Bit of sunshine never fails to lift the spirits though, but still very wet and sticky underfoot after that wet January. And with little or no drying weather this year so far, until Wednesday when things did start to dry up a bit, we've got a long way to go, all bar the kinder, brashier stuff before 2025 really gets underway. Septoria widespread in the wheats from what I'm seeing. Yellow rust pretty easy to find in wheat too, in varieties you wouldn't necessarily expect to see it in once again. But remember, early seedling yellow rust on several varieties right through tillering does not necessarily mean you've got a major issue, because come stem extension, certain varieties just grow away from that rust as they mature. And sack your advisor and get a different one. If you're being told at the moment with soils at 4 degrees and falling that you need to put a T-0 on as soon as possible, absolutely crackers. Way too soon to be thinking about fungicides in these conditions. We've had a couple of sunnier, milder days, but we're still cold by night. You know, as I say, 4 degrees and falling in these soils, and we're heading into a bit more of the cold stuff once again this coming week. Remember, you need to respond to what you see in the field, respond to the prevailing soils, the soil temperatures, the soil conditions, and to the crops themselves. We're only just out of January and it's getting colder, so let the weather do its bit. Even too cold to put manganese on to do an awful lot of good at the moment, really, either. I don't think I'm going to see growth stage 30 this month out there in the field. Even in the most forward bits of mine that were drilled in September, they're still only tillering. So map things out and plan for it, but you're way too soon to do anything about it. I counted 11 tillers per plant on a field of Dorsum the other day that was drilled on the 20th of September. So even if it is nice and sunny, let the conditions, the soil temperatures and the growth stage of the crop guide you, along with your advisor, of course, unless they're the one telling you to go and get a fungicide on, because temperatures and growth stage absolutely key this time of year. For disease control, you need warmer soils and active growth to enable that fungicide to move within the plant and do its job. And with the soils barely over 4 degrees, and as I say, falling, that active growth is pretty much non-existent. It might be different by the end of the month, but for now it would be completely the wrong decision. For those still drilling winter wheat, Illuminate, Redwold, Blackstone, Champion, Gleam, Cranium, all still fine to drill well into the middle of February. Skyfall, Bruin, Bearstow, Swallow, even later than that, up to the end of this month. If you have any home safe seed, by the way, get it tested with some urgency now. And as with all seed rates, work them out. Don't just have a guess at it. 1,000 seed weight multiplied by target plants per square metre, divided by percentage germination, multiplied by 100 plus percentage field losses. And losses can be as high as 50% in barley in the worst cases. And I've seen even higher losses than that in spring barley, which of course you must never try to maul in. It will not forgive you for that. 2023 proved that. And as with all spring drillings, seedbed conditions should never be underestimated, and the percentages of likely field losses need to be realistic and factored in accordingly. Spring barley, you're aiming for 300-325 established plants or so per square metre, higher seed rates on the dodgy seedbeds and the black grassy sites, of course. Spring wheat goes on heavier than spring barley because it doesn't tiller as readily as spring barley, so account for that. 325-375 established plants per square metre, higher seed rates for the later drillings, the dodgy seed bed, the black grassy land. Spring oats way too early yet, with soils as cold as they are. They do not like laying about in a cold, wet bed. Aiming for 275 to 325 plants a square metre established, lower populations on the more fertile soils, and of course then you've spring beans. Drill those from the middle of February once the conditions allow, aiming for about 35 plants a square metre on the heavier soil, 50 plants per square metre on the lighter stuff. And with the sticky conditions and the cold out there again now, I think that's all probably a couple of weeks ago yet anyway. Now's the time, by the way, to think about nutrition in general on all crops. Nitrogen and sulfur in particular will have been leached through, I'd imagine, with the rain we've had. And the sulfur's going to need applying in with that first dose of nitrogen in a couple of weeks' time as conditions dictate. And then as the crops wake up, you're going to need to replace lost zinc, copper, manganese, magnesium, etc. with foliar applications, but speak to your advisor about that. There are a few more cabbage stem flea beetle larvae out in the oil seed rape stems than we could find before Christmas. They've tunneled down into the hearts of the roots, down well below the crown now, but there's still an awful lot of good looking crops around. But assume nothing, get your knife out, cut them open. Far better to know what you're dealing with now so that you're prepared if the worst should happen, and keep those fingers crossed. Pigeons as well, hammering any rape they come across out here. Must have been 5,000 or 6,000 of the things whirling round near Metheringham on Wednesday afternoon, and that many can soon make a mess, and indeed they did. So February can be a very challenging month, and it's only just started. So let's see what the next 7 days bring.
Thanks as ever, Sean. On the way, the markets, the weather, and tomorrow sees the start of another Mind Your Head week, promoting good mental health in farming and the rural community. Yellow Wellie's Stephanie Barclay joins us. This is the Farming Programme podcast. I'm Steve Orchard. It's time for another Mind Your Head Week from the Farm Safety Foundation Yellow Wellies. Organiser Stephanie Barclay joins us this morning. Last year, we know, was a tough year for many farmers in lots of respects, following on a tough year the year before. And then we add in things like the budget and so on. It's been a stressful year just in the practicalities of farming. That we spoke about a few weeks ago has led to problems with farm safety continuing. And a lot of this comes down to the state of mental health, doesn't it? And that's we're trying to address in the week starting tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is no doubt last year was a challenging year for the industry. But, you know, the thing is, what we're trying to do is let people know that, you know, from BSE outbreak in the 80s to foot and mouth in 2001 to Brexit in 2018, farming in the UK has weathered many crises over the years. But unfortunately, the emerging mental health crisis in the industry might prove the most devastating. You know, the reality of a farmer's life is that there's loads of reasons. RABI back in 2021 quoted regulation, COVID pandemic, bad predictable, unpredictable weather and loss of subsidies as one of the reasons causing stress. But our research showed that things like longer working hours have had a really massive impact on poor mental health and also on risk taking.
Yeah, and as we know, it can be a very lonely occupation as well, farming, can't it? You spend, depending on what sector of farming you're in, but you could spend loads of your working week sat in a tractor on your own, in a field, on your own, with the animals, on your own. And that's not a good place to be if you've got all these other stresses to add in as well.
Absolutely not. And for people that actually don't work in farming, who do work 36.4 hours on average a week, UK farmers are working an average of 59 to 60 hours every week. And as you said, often with not one other human being to speak to. So the issue of rural isolation and loneliness plays into the industry a lot. In our research, 44% of farmers between the ages of 41 and 60 work more than 81 hours a week. 81 hours a week. And actually, one in three of farmers that actually work more than 9 hours a day openly admit to having taken a risk or having had an accident in the last year, the last 12 months. So there is a demonstration between the link between the long hours and working safely, but also those long hours, they're having to work that because of all of those other factors that we've experienced over the last year. And that is playing into their mental health. And if they're not concentrating, on the job, if they're tired, if they're worried about something else, it is more likely that they will be putting themselves at risk of having an injury or a long-term accident in the farm.
Now, we want to address this with Mind Your Head Week, which starts tomorrow, and that is publicising the impact of mental health on farming and the impact of farming on mental health. What are the principal objectives of the week? What are you trying to achieve with Mind Your Head Week?
Well, I know over the last 8 years of doing the campaign, we are seeing a lot more openness around what used to be a really taboo subject. What we're trying to remind people is that we all have mental health. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. It's a bit like farming in that respect. There are always highs and lows, but actually every day that we wake up brings a fresh start. The sun will rise, and actually as farmers, we're the lucky ones up early enough to see it. So we kind of want to remind people that this week we're coinciding with Valentine's Day. So we're going to show some love and some positivity around those people, those individuals, those organisations who are driving that resilience, who are doing things to improve the industry for ourselves, who are offering training, who are offering various opportunities for us to get together, to connect and actually understand that we all need to look after our physical health and we all need to look after our mental health because, you know, we are the most important thing in the industry.
And there is support out there, isn't there? Let's face it. And this aims to make people aware of that support. As you say, Valentine's Day on Friday, There are themes through the week, aren't there?
Yes, there are. So it's all themed around love this year. So L is the launch, obviously, for on Monday. So we will be setting the scene. We'll be sharing our new hero video, which we're very excited about sharing. We've just finished editing it. On Tuesday, there are opportunities to improve, and that is certain organisations. And we're actually heading up to Scotland this week to meet with a very special guest who wants to learn more about the issue of tackling rural isolation and loneliness in the industry, why it impacts that and how it's impacting young farmers. But we're also shining the light on organisations like the Scottish Association of Young Farmers, who've been talking about this for a long time, and how they've been making that connection and keeping their members engaged, and especially giving them those tools and skills to equip them to sort of reach out and help people. Wednesday is the views from around the industry, what organisations out there are doing, what new things that they have to offer. The E of love is about education, because education is the key. So there are fantastic charities out there offering free mental health awareness training. Now, this isn't necessarily mental health first aid, because not everybody needs to know about mental health first aid, but actually knowing about the issue, what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like, they can help to support themselves and anybody they come into contact with. And a lot of that is free of charge. So we will be highlighting that and letting people know where to access that. And then, of course, Friday, being Valentine's Day, is really about showing a bit of love and appreciation for not just your significant other, but for your friends. And we are doing another new video. And Steve, you did get a very early sneak preview of it, featuring some very recognisable faces from the industry, reaching out and letting people know that they love them. So we want to end with a feeling of positivity, because I think we need it after the times that we've experienced, after the challenges that we are still experiencing. We need to stay positive, because it's the best industry in the world and we're very lucky to be part of it.
Fantastic. Now, you've put together, for anybody who needs a bit of guidance, a bit of advice, pointing in the right direction, your Mind Your Head Toolkit for 2025. Yes. Where can we get that?
Yes, if you send us a DM on our social media, we're at Yellow Wellies UK on Instagram, Facebook, X, or if you email us through the website yellowwellies.org, we can get one winging its way to you with all the logos and all the info that you need to help share the message throughout the week.
Sharing the message, that's the key to it really, isn't it? For everybody to get sharing Mind Your Head Week on their socials and make it another successful week and take another little tiny step towards improving everybody's mental health. Mind Your Head Week from yellowwellies.org, 10th to the 14th of February. Stephanie, thanks once again for telling us all about it on the Farming Programme this morning.
Pleasure as always, Steve.
The Farming Programme.
Market reports.
Starting as usual with livestock and from Louth Market, good morning to auctioneer Edward Middleton.
Good morning, Steve. Starting off this week with the prime cattle, a day of the heifers this week, averaging 337.06 pence per kilo. An absolutely roaring trade from start to finish for all cattle sold. Top in the pence per kilo came from F. Wallace and Son of Biscathorpe at 379 pence per kilo. And in the pounds per head, GL and M. Carr of Skidbrook topped at £2,328.80. On to the OTM and cull cattle report. The cull cows this week averaged an impressive 241.65 pence per kilo. A record price achieved in this section for Louth Market at £2,362.50, or 270 pence per kilo, and that came from GL and M. Carr of Skidbrook. On to the store cattle. Store bulls this week all in average £1,462.50. Store steers all in averaged £1,640. And store heifers all in average £1,545.71. Topping the bulls was Aldridge Livestock of Louth with a 8-month-old pure Limousin bull at £1,580. Store steers topped at £1,640 for Beaver Agricultural Contractors Limited of Coningsby, and that was for a 18-month-old Limousin heifer. On to the sheep. This week we had an increased entry again of prime hogs with an SQQ of 341.09 pence per kilo and an all in pounds per head of £156.54. Topping the hogs again this week were C.A. Mottram and Sons of Lincoln at £192 for some 60 kilo Texels. M.A. Smith of Mablethorpe topped the pence per kilo at 400 pence per kilo with some 32 kilo Beltexes. On to the cull ewes, an all-in average of £137.82. C.E. Badley of Horncastle topped at £215 for some Charolais Tups and some Continental Cross ewes at £172. E.C. Herring of Lincoln topped at £168 for some North Country mules, and G.L. Lenton of Friskany topped at £190 for some Texel crosses. On to the store lambs, an average of £73.52, top price of £118 for some Texel crosses from Wharton Limited of Lincoln. That concludes this week's market report. I'm Edward Middleton, auctioneer at Louth Livestock Market.
Thanks, Edward. To the grain markets and with the latest open fields, Alice Killam. Morning, Alice.
Good morning, Steve. A few steps backwards on Wednesday afternoon, a small sell-off in the US saw both the UK and France lose the gains it had made earlier on in the week. But we had a better day on Thursday and appeared to be back on track in some guys. Much of the gains happened in the last couple of hours of the afternoon and put us back bubbling around the 190 mark again on the futures, so smack bang in the middle of our range. A weaker pound, courtesy of the Bank of England's base rate change, has done no harm either. With two of the panel asking for a larger reduction in rates, it is now being discussed that we may see two or three more reductions before the end of the year. At risk of turning into a broken record, on the upside, there is enough for the bulls to look at. We've spoken about lots of potential weather issues around the globe, including the below. Start with Russia and Ukraine. They have poor conditions with abnormally dry and warm weather currently. The big fear here is the cold snap before the spring. To South America, both wet and dry conditions are hampering their harvest and the setting of the second and exportable corn or safrina crop. Bears will argue that the better Brazil will cancel out the poorer Argentina, but with US corn exports well ahead, an issue with the second corn crop in South America might lead to some higher values. India and Pakistan, they are very hot and very dry. Imports expected to be required here. To France, the ongoing toxin issues with some of their maize, some of this feed grain is now being filled in with wheat and barley, according to reports. And you can begin to see some of this price action creep into the UK market too. This is slow and steady stuff, I grant you, but the UK new crop November is gaining a little in value. In many ways, any likely strength in our old crop market is likely to be generated in a problem with new crop. Import numbers should be slowing down, but they are still plentiful, and we now have 5.5 months of old crop season left. We're not at the point yet, to be fair, we're not even close, where old crop works to be carried, but we have seen this gap widen in the last 2 months. A stronger November 25 futures will do no harm to what remains of the old crop season. We are and have been close to breaking the top of some of these ranges though. If one of these positive stories ignite, then we're in with a chance of higher numbers. In the meantime, don't get too brave would be my only plea. It's important that we keep moving things, so if these stories do not develop, we're not left with a potential car crash at the very end of the season. Similar guide prices this week again, circa Friday morning. Feed wheat, February 180 to 190, April 185 to 195, and May 187 to 197. Feed barley, February 150 to 160, April 155 to 165, and May 157 to 167. Oilseed rape, February 420 to 430, April 425 to 435, and May 430 to 440. Feed beans, April 215 to 220, and May 220 to 225. As usual, please do call for firm values.
Thanks, Alice.
The Farming Programme. 5-day forecast.
Cold, cloudy, misty, and wet. Lovely. High pressure to start the week, some brisk northeasterly winds strengthening, turning gusty and bringing heavy rain for the second half of the week. Not much sun, lots of cloud, mist and fog, and it stays cold with daytime highs of 4 or 5 Celsius and down to 1 or 2 overnight. This is the Farming Programme podcast, and a reminder that you can subscribe to the programme for free, of course, and it will appear as if by magic in your inbox every Sunday morning. Next week, a tech update from the Leaf Conference, and we'll hear from the speakers at the Lincolnshire Farming Conference on at the showground this Thursday. If you're going, let me know. Drop me an email, steve.orchard@bowermedia.co.uk. Plus, of course, we'll have the rest of the week in agriculture. I'm Steve Orchard. Until then, have a great week.